All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Everyone here has probably heard the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And usually you hear sermons that are about Daniel's faithfulness, about Daniel's morality, about Daniel standing up against the king and the law of the land and what have you. And I remember, I think, one time hearing a message, or maybe there's a song called Dare to Be a Daniel. And it's good to be faithful. It's good to be moral. But God strengthens our inner man to faithfulness and to live morally before Him through the message of Christ and Him crucified. So I want to preach Christ to you using Daniel as a type of Christ. Now, every picture in the Bible is not a perfect picture. Sometimes you have to look at the opposite of what a text says to see the truth of God in it. What we want to do is look at the Scriptures and see Christ in it. Look at the Scriptures and see the glory of God in the face of Christ in it. So that's what we're going to do here today. Now the first thing, and I'm going to read the Scripture as we go, because it's just too much. I'm going to preach this whole chapter. So first of all, God's choice above all is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's choice above all is Christ the Son of God. That's what we see here first. Verse 1. It pleased Darius, he's the king, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. God the Father prefers Christ above all, just like Darius preferred Daniel above all. God chose Christ, and he's first before God, and he's first above all men. The Scripture says, he spoke from the cloud and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There's an excellent spirit in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Darius set Daniel forth to be a mediator between him and these men of the earth, so that they had to answer to Daniel, come to Daniel before they could come to him. God set Christ forth to be the mediator between him and his people. And God has raised Christ. He's made him first. He's made him above all. He has an excellent spirit, full of grace and truth. He said, this is my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. My spirit shall be upon him. And he's raised him. And he's given him all power in heaven and earth. Ephesians 1:20 said, he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion in every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And he's put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Christ is first. Now, secondly, but Christ is despised and rejected of men. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now, these men are like all sinners left in our natural born state. They hated Daniel. They hated the king's mediator. They hated Daniel. We by nature say this, we will not have this man reign over us. That's the nature of all sinners. He's despised and he was rejected of men. You realize this, when men sit and they hear the gospel, men today are doing the exact same thing that men were doing when Christ walked this earth. Men try to find a reason to justify themselves for not believing on Christ, for not bowing to Christ. And the reason they try to find is by finding some fault in Christ, in His gospel, in His preacher, in His people. That's true. That's true. That's why we're exhorted in the Scriptures to be steadfast, to be faithful to God, to walk faithfully before God. Because men are looking for a reason. Men are looking for a reason to justify themselves for not bowing to Christ. Well, the third thing we see here is, there is no reason why you should not believe and bow to Christ. There is no fault in Him. Look at verse 4. It says, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as He was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in Him. Sinner, you won't find an occasion to not believe Christ. You won't find any fault in Christ. There's no fault in Him. Christ is, He was and He is faithful. There's no error, there's no fault found in Christ. Such a high priest became us, who is harmless, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He had to be the Holy One. He had to be. He's the only holy man, only righteous man that was made under the law. He's the only one. He had to be in order to redeem His people from all iniquity. Now here's the fourth thing. God is just, and His law cannot be altered. Now, read verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Verse 6 says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. They're appealing to Darius' pride here. Listen to what they say now. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man, for 30 days, save of thee, O king. Whoever asks a petition, whoever prays to God or asks a petition of a man, save of you, O king. Whoever does not come to you, king, and make a petition, whoever does not come to you alone, O king, he says, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, which cannot be altered. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now these men were doing this simply because they wanted to entrap Daniel. That's the only reason they were doing this. This was a silly law. It should have been rejected by a faithful believer because it was against God. It was a foolish law. But get the spiritual lesson here. The law of God cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. Like the law of the Medes and Persian, the law of God altereth not. Unlike Darius' law, God's holy law is holy, just, and good. This law was foolish. God's law is holy, it's just, and it's good. It's a revelation of the holiness and the righteousness of God Himself. God's law is spiritual. Now listen to me, it's spiritual. It's not just in the letter. It's spiritual. If it was only in the letter, you and I might could keep it. But it's spiritual. What do I mean by that? I mean it requires inward perfection. It requires perfection of the heart, perfection of the thoughts, perfection in the mind. Paul said, we know that the law is spiritual. Here's the opposite. But I'm carnal. Sold under sin. I'm fleshly and I'm sold under sin. So then I can't fulfill a spiritual law. I can't fulfill a law that requires a heart that's perfect. The Lord Jesus said, you've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not kill. That's the letter. And men taught that. They said, you shall not kill. They said, this is what the law said, you shall not kill. So if they didn't literally go out and kill somebody, they thought they had fulfilled the law. Christ said, but I say unto you, and whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment. You ever been angry with somebody without a cause? You see, that's the law. That's the spirit of the law. It reaches to our heart and it says, we're guilty. We're guilty. The Lord Jesus said, best thing for you to do is lay down your gift. Lay down your sacrifices. Lay down everything you're trying to bring to God and turn from all that and go to the one who has aught against you. Go to your adversary right now and be reconciled to your adversary. Who is it that's got aught against you? God does. Christ does. Lay down every sacrifice. Lay down all your works and all your doings and everything you're doing to try to make yourself righteous before God. Go to God, bow at the feet of Christ, and confess your sin. That's what he's saying. There are no loopholes in this law. There can't be any compromise in God's law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. If we don't do the law, we're going to meet God. Now, I was talking to a lady yesterday, and she was telling me about her son. And she said, I try my best to talk to him about God. He's just about to meet God. He's right about to meet God. And I try to talk to him about God, and all he says is, oh, don't talk to me about that. Like it's not real. Like it's not coming to pass, just in the blink of an eye. You're going to stand before God. And cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the law to do them. If you don't do everything written in this law, God will, God must punish you in justice. He must. Yet we've broken this law. We've broken it. We've broken God's holy law. The law of King Darius was a wicked law. It should have been disregarded. But God's commandments are pure. God's commandments are holy. God's commandments are just. But we have not, we do not, and we cannot fulfill that law. We just don't do it. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And we have transgressed God's law. And all we do is iniquity. That's all. Look at Romans chapter 3. I want you to see this. I know you don't believe this. A man doesn't believe this till God gives him a heart. See, this is you that it's talking about. God has to give us a heart to see. This is me this is talking about. Me and my flesh. Look at Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now look at where this sin comes from. Their throat. It comes from within. It's an open sepulchre, an open grave. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouths full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. The fear of God's an inward thing. The fear of God is a matter of the heart, brethren. And he says there's no fear of God before their eyes. We know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now that's our case. So here's the question. How then can we be just with God? How can we be just with God? Here's a question. How can God be just and yet justify you and me? How can God be just and show us mercy? How can that be? Here's the fifth thing. The only way that God can be just and the justifier is through the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, who took the place of His people and put away our sin. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel knew that this law was in place. It says he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, everybody could see it. Everybody could see it. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. This is what they said. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, "The thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah," he's of Judah, "he regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but he maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased within himself." Remember, he preferred Daniel above all. And he was sore displeased within himself. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He wanted to show him mercy. He wanted to deliver him. But he's got this law that says he can't be delivered and you still be just. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He tried and he tried and he tried to think, how can I deliver Daniel and still be just? Then these men assembled unto the king, and they said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake, and he said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever." Can't you just picture Darius standing there, and he can't see down into the den of lions. And he says, "O Daniel, is your king able? Your God able?" And he waits. And he hears Daniel say, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Now, Darius' dilemma was, how could he save the one he loved and yet remain just? That was his dilemma. How could he show mercy to Daniel without it being at the expense of his justice? Now, you and I could labor all our lives. We could walk the floor all our lives like Darius labored all night. But we cannot establish a righteousness. We cannot appease a holy God. We cannot escape just condemnation, which is due to us. We can't do it. God must carry out the sentence and judgment of His law upon us. He must do it. And He shall do it. Everybody under the sound of my voice right here will suffer eternal hell. You'll either suffer it yourself, or you'll suffer it in the substitute who took your place. Now, that's certain. That's true. God's law will be upheld. It will be upheld. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, here's the glory of God. He says He keeps mercy for thousands. He forgives iniquity, passes by transgressions. But He will by no means clear the guilty. How can God be just and show His people mercy? The answer is found in that text I just read you. Darius said to Daniel, "Thy God will deliver thee." That's the answer. Our God must deliver us. Our God must deliver us. Darius couldn't find a way. He could not find a way to deliver Daniel from his law. But our God found a way. He found a way to deliver His people from the law of God and yet remain just. Here's how He did it. God sent His only begotten Son. He sent His only Son. And God, our Savior, delivered His people by going into the den of lions Himself. My God hath sent His angel. That's how. My God hath sent His angel. In Daniel, we see a shadow of Christ. Christ is the spotless one, just like Daniel was. He's spotless. And yet, He willingly became guilty in place of His people in order that He might remain faithful unto His God. That's what Christ did. Look at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in the chamber, everybody being able to see, he prayed and gave thanks before his God just like he did before. You see, Daniel knew he would become guilty when he did this. He knew he would become guilty when he did this. And he knew the law couldn't be changed. And he knew Darius would have to pour out judgment upon him when this happened. And yet, because he served his God, and because he served his God faithfully, he was willing to become guilty in order to remain faithful to God. That's what Christ did. Christ came to this earth, and he knew, this spotless one knew, that if he was to deliver his people from all our transgressions, that he would have to be made sin for us and become guilty before the God he loved, and yet before the whole world. He willingly gave himself in faithfulness to his God because he would rather be faithful to God and see that law satisfied. That's what Christ did. That's exactly what he did. He hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did God just lay just no sin of anybody on him, just random sin upon him? No, God. It said, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All those that are justified, all those whose sins are put away, all those who are eternally redeemed by God. That's whose sins were laid on Christ. Because Christ accomplished that for them. He did that. And because God's law couldn't be changed, when the sin of his people was found upon Christ, God delivered Christ to the justice, to the teeth of justice, just like Darius delivered Daniel to the mouth of the lions. And just like Darius turned his back and went back into his palace and engaged that solemn night waiting, God forsook God. God turned his back on his own son and waited, and the world went dark for 3 hours. While Christ bore the death that never dies on the cross. While Christ bore the eternal condemnation and judgment of his people on the cross. And yet Christ satisfied the eternal demands of the law because he's God eternal. Everything he did had an eternal efficacy because he's God eternal. By his faithfulness to God, by bearing the wrath of God's justice in the room instead of his people, Christ, verse 23 says, hath shut the lions' mouths. He shut the lions' mouths. For as much as before God, innocency was found in Christ. Now, God's justice is satisfied toward his people. God's justice is satisfied. And he proved it by raising Christ from the dead. Look at verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. You see, Christ didn't come to destroy the law. Christ didn't come to try to find a way around the law. Christ came to fulfill the law. And Christ went into the teeth of justice and fulfilled the law for everyone that he represented. And because he did so, brethren, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, he satisfied the law. He magnified the law and made it honorable. And in Christ the Lord, God calls sinners to repentance and faith in Christ. And he does so justly because justice has been satisfied for all those that God calls. Justice has been satisfied. So now Christ is risen. God said, behold, I've satisfied my justice. Behold, I've delivered my people. The Scripture says, when he arose, we arose in him. And he says, behold, I've accomplished the work. The work's finished. And now, those that he calls, robed in Christ's righteousness, born of His Spirit, brought to believe on Christ, can say this with Daniel. We can say what he said right there when he said, "Before God, innocency was found in me." In you, in your flesh? Nope. In my head, in my representative. And because innocency was found in Him, it's the same as innocency being found in me. God counts Christ to be me. God counts my Redeemer to be me. He counts my substitute to be me. And what He did, I did. So I'm righteous and holy in Him, brethren. And then verse 23 says, Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Every believer is delivered from the pit of corruption. Every believer is delivered in Christ, raised when he was raised, and now we're just waiting to be raised fully and completely. But all who reject Christ, all who are prepared to stand before God on their own without a substitute, without faith in Christ, what's going to be the case with them? Verse 24. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. As soon as they hit the mouth of justice, they were consumed. That's what shall be the case with everybody that meets God outside of a substitute. Now, why did God deliver His Son to the den of lions? Why did God deliver Christ to the teeth of justice? To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, having satisfied His own law, and that He might be the justifier, having been the very one who did the justifying. And so He's just, and He's the justifier of everyone that believes on Christ. Only those who believe on Christ. Do you believe on Christ? This is the true and living God. Look at what Darius wrote after this. This is the decree He made through all the land. Now God's sending forth His gospel. And this is the decree God's made throughout all the land. Now hear it. Hear it and listen. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. This is what God said. He's sending forth this gospel to all people and languages that dwell upon the earth. And He says this, peace be multiplied unto you. How can I have peace with God? In this one who's the peacemaker, in Christ. He says, I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For He's the living God and steadfast forever. And His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. And He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. This is the God who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so it is, brethren, that Christ obtained eternal redemption for His people. Christ is risen now and He reigns. His kingdom shall be forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Amen.